Father's Heaven.
Nine Dragons.
Mother's Earth.
Tom Matt Attack.
Simple introduction, but, you know, been playing a bit of Shenmue, Tom.
I'm going to talk like this all the way through.
I'm going to speak like Sean Connery if you do that. How you been, Tom? This is an actual podcast off the back of our 100th E3 spectacular.
This is podcast 101.
It is. I'm not going to make the same joke I made at the end of last week's podcast, though.
It was?
Not Dalmatians, games, or podcasts, either one.
Still good for those who haven't heard the last one.
That's true, but get on it. What are you doing, you slackers? How are you, Tom? You all right?
Well, I'm okay. Yes, good old week, I'd say. And there's a backlog of games to talk about because we haven't spoken about what we've been buying and playing for a good month.
No, and I've been on like a world tour.
And I imagine there's a lot of things you've bought and played over that time.
Yes, I've seen a lot of things. I've played a lot of games. It's been good.
And I've made a sort of list, but then I stopped writing the list after a certain point, so I'm going to...
Have you really bought that many games?
Well, there's more here on the old eBay.
I dared not document mine for fear of seeing how many games I'd bought in the last month since we did the last podcast.
Well, my eBay doesn't want to tell me. Hang on. Purchase history. Maybe that's... Yep.
Right.
That will help me. Actually, I've written most of them down. It's quite all right.
Well, that's good.
Great.
You want to start us off?
I'll, sure. Well, I bought Splatoon.
Yeah.
Good, played it last 2 weeks, although I'm fairly frustrated by the connection dropping all the time. I had that this last week. First week, not so bad. This last week, gave up and played Mario Kart after a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just the connection here in the flat or it's a known issue with Splatoon, but...
I'm not too sure.
Became
like,
a bit tiresome after
I experienced it a little bit. I played it to death like the weekend before I went away, and yeah, it seemed like it was the weekend I come back. But anyway, it's a really good game. I really enjoyed it. I got to like level 16, I think, in the space of a week of just playing and killing things, which was nice. It seems like a really good game. Like, I wish there was more of it. Like, I completed the campaign rather quickly. That end boss of the campaign is rather good. Have you played the campaign at all?
I can't comment on it because I haven't
touched
the campaign
yet. I shan't spoil it for you. I'll let you play it. I probably shouldn't anyway because it's a relatively new game. But it's a very good end boss. Multiplayer is fantastic. I'm not sure if I prefer Turf War or the ranked matches. But I kind of have a problem with how the ranked matches work. I explained this to you. Once you reach level 10, for those of you who don't know, you go into get the option to play ranked matches and you get more XP, but there's also the risk that you may get no XP. And the ranked matches are actually determined not based on your own single ability, but the ability of your team, which is kind of frustrating since there's no voice chat. And there's not even like an emote system or anything. You can kind of point to places on your map and you can kind of see where enemies are with certain perks, but if you lose, you lose. And sometimes I've had terrible teams who don't know what they're doing, and then that automatically takes me down 10 rank points and I'm just like, what the fuck? Well, there's nothing I could do. There's no way I could win. I can't carry 4 people.
Yeah, you've become pretty good at this.
I was all right at it. Like, I haven't played it for almost 2 weeks now, so I might be a bit rusty, but I really enjoyed the game. I was doing lots of tricky things, like going up walls and surprising people and stuff. I seemed to be all right. Like, I was averaging about 10 kills a game and going into like the 1,000-point mark.
There is more to it than there initially seems, isn't
Yes, there
is.
Before
you get into it.
It's a pretty deep game, actually. I was quite surprised.
But it can be a simple game.
It can be as
well,
yeah.
For people just want to pick up and play.
Especially with like Turf War. Like, Turf War requires no thought. You just shoot everything. It's good. But yeah, this rank system kind of got me a bit down on it, and I haven't been back because before I went on vacation, I got downgraded from a B- rank to a C+ rank again.
Frustrated.
And I was like, oh, god damn it. It took me ages to get there.
One thing that I don't understand is why you're limited to two maps per session, like day.
Well, it's not that day. It does change at varying intervals during the day. I think there's at least four maps you play in a day. There's at least two changes, but I think there's up to three or four.
So but why? Why restrict it?
I guess it's just so people get to learn the maps. Like, I think maybe it's easier for them to run a server, maybe, if there's only two maps, rather than, like, everyone playing, like, eight maps.
It's a bit of a mystery. Curiosity.
It's just an interesting way of doing it. Like, it means that all the maps are going to get played and people aren't skipping less favourable maps, so everyone's learning all the maps.
Yeah, but there is the risk of ending up on the same one multiple times over and over again when there's only two to rotate.
Yeah, randomly. But I don't really mind that. You find more issue with it than I do. Because I played Battlefield and you generally play the only three maps that anyone plays, like Locker and stuff on that anyway, so I don't really care. It's more about the gameplay on the map and the different experience there than just me.
Yeah, but the game is great and it's really good to play something fresh and original on the Wii U.
Yes, it is.
And in general, actually, over all formats, you know, there's not been a game like Splatoon for a while,
I don't think. It is the freshest multiplayer game I've played in about 5 years.
Oh.
And that, honestly, like, I can't think of a game since Gears of War that I really liked and thought, wow, this is something different.
It makes you want to see more of it on Nintendo's console, really, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I was hoping for that at E3, but unfortunately I was left slightly disappointed. I have got high hopes, though, for Mario Maker.
Everyone's impressed by Mario Maker.
I've seen people talking about it a lot more over the last week, and I'm really looking forward to playing that game. Or making my own game, as it were. But we'll see. I like Splatoon. It's good.
Yeah.
If you haven't got Splatoon, you're on a Wii U, go out and get it. Trust me, £30 is probably the best new Nintendo IP in a good number of years.
I'll tell you what's another good multiplayer game.
What, Tom?
Worms.
Oh, God. I thought we'd be over this by now. I thought you'd have moved on to, like, Doom or something.
Doom?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a game that's on every system.
We're nearly there now. Over the past few weeks, I've picked up Worms Forts for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Picked up Worms 3D for the GameCube. I've also picked up Worms Director's Cut for the Amiga, which I was quite happy about obtaining.
Okay.
As I heard, it was only 5,000 sold.
Really?
When the game was released, yeah.
That's interesting.
It was released late on the Amiga's lifespan.
Yeah? Pricey title or?
£25.
For an Amiga game, wow. That is pretty pricey.
But seeing that I'm a Worms collector.
Yes, you're collecting Worms.
Yeah, and another thing that cost £25 was a sealed copy of Full Wormage, which is a compilation.
I've never even heard of that.
It's basically Worms United, Worms 2, and Worms Pinball in a package with a T-shirt.
Right, okay.
And this was sealed, and it's the only copy I could find with the T-shirt.
Okay.
And so I wanted a T-shirt.
So you're going to open the sealed copy and crack out that T-shirt?
Crack out, because that's what I wanted it for.
Okay, that's fair enough.
For me, even though the games don't hold any value for me because I already own them,
yeah,
it was the T-shirt I paid the £25 for. And also, it's a nice box to display when my eventual collection gets displayed somewhere one day.
Because
it's quite big now. I also picked up Worms Reinforcements, another game I don't really need. It's the PC add-on.
Of what?
The original Worms.
Oh, okay.
But I already have that with Worms United, which now I own twice.
Oh, every time you say Worms United, I want to go, glory, glory, Worms United! But I'm not going
but to. I have to say, the box art on Reinforcements is really good, as it is with the Director's Cut. So these are really important pieces in my collection, which I'm really happy to have.
That's cool. So how many Worms games are you lacking now?
I tell you what, the Game Boy Advance version of Worms World Party is quite pricey.
Okay.
Boxed, at least.
Yeah.
Also, the Game Boy Advance version of Worms Blast is quite pricey.
Right.
Again, boxed. So they're two titles I'd like to get, but we're talking around £20 mark for them.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad.
Not that bad. Also, there is... What else is there? There's Worms for the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Which I'm looking at on eBay right now. There's a couple of copies up there.
Was it like
£30,
£40 mark or cheaper?
No. There's... have they sold already? I think I've missed one. Oh, well.
Oh, crap.
Oh, no, I haven't. 1 hour left. It's on £13.75.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
We'll see how that goes.
Is that boxed SNES?
That's boxed SNES.
I would imagine that will go up, I assume.
They go for around about 25.
Yeah,
quid, 30.
I thought it'd be around that mark.
I did buy a game that I bought because it's a Worms game, but I probably won't play unless I pick up the system. That is Worms for the N-Gage.
Wow.
I bought Worms World Party for the N-Gage.
Well, I can't talk. I bought Puzzle Bobble for the N-Gage. So.
There's an N-Gage here with 1 hour left on eBay at £29.
Don't do it, Tom. It's really not worth it.
I'm considering it.
Oh, God.
I'm looking at Sonic N for the N-Gage.
I thought you had an N-Gage.
No, I don't know. There was one at work. Yeah. I used to work at Game.
I thought you got that one.
No,
that
I
was,
didn't.
Like, under the cupboard for 7 years.
No, something happened to that. No one could keep it because it wasn't... There was a reason why no one could have that.
Okay.
We got in a bit of trouble because it was lying around.
Okay.
I think.
Really?
Unspoken for. And it got sent back to head office, I think. Whatever happened after it got sent back,
I don't know. Someone probably was just like, ugh, I'm through it in the garbage.
Probably. And so other than Worms games, I picked up a few downloadable titles on the PS4.
Oh, really?
One you may have seen a video of me playing over at Blast Process, and that's Surgeon Simulator.
I have heard of this game. I've seen it in action. How is it to play?
Oh, it's difficult, but very rewarding because it's difficult. The difficult thing about it is it's control system, but that's the whole point in the game.
Yes.
That you raise and lower the hand you're operating with. Only one hand,
yeah.
Mind you.
Okay.
With the left shoulder buttons, and then you grasp things with the right shoulder buttons.
Okay.
If you just press R1, you do a pinch. If you press R2, you do a grab. If you press them together, you grab with your whole hand.
Okay.
And you have to pick up the instruments and perform the operations.
Okay.
With raising, lowering with the other shoulder buttons.
Are you then using the sticks
to
move your hand?
Oh, sorry, you can use the right stick to move your hand.
Or can you just...
The default setup is the motion
sensor. Okay, well, yeah, that makes more sense.
Which actually feels... bit more natural.
Yes, I would imagine. Of course, a completely unnatural game.
It is, and at times you think the game is against you. It's not kind of playing with you, because the physics feel a bit messy. And
it's kind of got an Octodad wibbly-wobbly.
That's right, I think it's intentional, but sometimes it does make you want to tear your hair out.
Yeah.
And also the solutions to the puzzles, which basically you have a puzzle like... Take the kidneys out, a kidney replacement.
Okay.
But you have to get out all the other body parts before you can get to the kidneys. So it doesn't matter where they go, you can chuck them out of the way. Just as long as you transplant those kidneys, that's fine. But actually knowing how to get through the other body parts, for example, to find the point where you cut the intestine to get it out is quite tricky. In the end, I just end up drawing around the entire intestine with a scalpel, but every time you poke with the scalpel, the patient loses blood. Okay. And there's only so much blood in the patient, obviously. And when it reaches zero, it's game over.
Yeah.
But you've got a syringe you can pick up. You poke it a few times into the patient and the blood stops flowing.
Okay.
So, yeah, it can be a bit tricky in that respect. But I think once you learn the game, you kind of understand how it works and you kind of get over its glitches. Because you're aware of them and you work with them. It's hard getting the kidneys out eventually because you just kind of have to...
Forage
to knock them out. And then sometimes you can drop things. You can get to the end of the operation and really a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Pick up the new kidneys and accidentally drop them. And you can't pick anything up off the floor. So then you have to restart.
Shit.
But you will restart because you want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's... But we kept... I played it with Austin and Jonathan.
Yes.
After watching Gremlins 2 last week.
Okay.
It was a fun evening. And, we had no idea how to do some of these. Even between three people.
Yeah.
We couldn't work it out.
Okay.
So we had to go online. Even though Austin was screaming, oh, don't do it. Oh, you're cheating. You're cheating. But in the end, I wasn't enjoying it.
No.
Until I knew what to do.
Okay.
But I think, I say, the more you play it, the more it will come naturally.
How does it compare to something like Trauma Center, which is the only other surgeon operating game I can think of?
Trauma Center.
Is there crazy hijinks? Do you remove bombs from people?
Mm. Not yet, at least. The next one I'm doing is brain surgery, but it leaves you so exhausted. I've only done
two. That's really easy. You'll be fine.
I've only done two operations so far because it's that exhausting.
Okay.
You'll find yourself a one operation for hours on end.
Interesting.
Just trying to get it right. So you can see a video of me playing that over at Blast Process.
So how many people did you kill in the process?
I've lost count.
Okay, fair enough.
Mass murderer.
Awesome. Oh, well, if I need kidneys replacing, Tom, I won't come to
it
you.
It does say you perform brutal murder within so many minutes at the end. Managed to perform the operation. I also picked up Mousecraft. You heard of Mousecraft?
No, I haven't.
PS4? It's a fun little Lemmings-like game. It's like crossing Lemmings and Tetris. You place blocks, Tetris-like blocks, yeah, to get the mice to get to the end goal. They come out of one side like Lemmings and you get them to the goal. They can only climb up blocks that are one block tall. So you have to place the blocks with that in mind.
Lots of stairs then.
You can also, pause it. There's no, you're not forced, you're not against the clock.
Yes.
You can take it at your leisure, which makes it quite a, you know, cerebral kind of relaxing
game. I would like
that
for that Akida game on the Game Boy. Oh, yeah.
It was cheap as well. It was £4.
Oh, that's not too bad.
So can't argue with that. It was the same for Surgeon Simulator, I think, and Towerfall Ascension.
Yeah.
Which I was playing a little bit of today. I'm a little bit confused at first with what there is exactly for single player. There's trials, which you get through very quickly. I've just stuck on one of the missions. That's sort of like a training mode where you're shooting dummies. But you have to work out how you're going to get to the dummy.
Yes.
Using the different abilities of the arrows, and they're scattered around the level. So it's a little tricky, but not too challenging.
Okay.
And then you've got like a co-op mode and a versus mode. The versus mode is multiplayer. And then the co-op mode is something you can play single player. Which confused me if it says co-op, and I didn't think I'd be able to play it single player, but it's 1 to 4 players.
Yes.
So that is a series of death matches, which you can play
against bots.
Single player. So it's a great game. I mean, we've talked about it before on the podcast. You've got it. We've played a lot.
We have.
Of it.
It's one of my favourite local multiplayer games.
Only problem being, if you want to play multiplayer, you need more controllers.
You do.
Can you play it online?
No, you cannot. I don't believe it's
so. Controls are so expensive, and you get the most out of the game. You want to play it in 4-player.
Well, be thankful
you've
they're not $150, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like the Xbox Elite controller. Yes. So maybe if I get another one, we can get 4 people together.
Yes, we can.
Because the likelihood of me playing it without you is slim.
Probably.
So, yeah, we'll get together and we'll play a bit of Tower 4 at some point. What else? RD Lightfoot for the SNES. I was trying to remember this yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I bought a platform for the SNES. You were talking about it on Twitter. And I bought it. RD Lightfoot. Looks all right. I don't know what it's like because it's been shipped back to
it's
the UK.
It's supposed to be all right from what I heard conversation I tweeted at you.
So, yeah. And a Sonic Amiibo.
Yes.
I've long...
good boy.
thought about buying an Amigo.
An Amigo.
Somebody Amigo.
Tom's best friend.
Amiibo. But never give in until this last weekend.
You didn't. I was there. I was like, buy it, Tom. Buy it.
Because I was considering getting Smash Brothers. It wasn't the main reason for buying an Amiibo.
No, that was Mario Kart.
Yeah, I saw the Sonic driving racer suit. What's it called?
Racer suit. Isn't that just it?
Driving suit. Oh. Anyway, it's a costume you can wear that's based off Sonic.
Yeah.
For Mario Kart. And I've been playing Mario Kart this morning. It breathed some new life into Mario Kart for me. I wanted to play it again.
Were you like, doo-doo-doo-doo, while you were driving around?
It says Sonic the Hedgehog on his back, and he's got the sneakers on.
Ooh.
And he's got the helmet that looks like Sonic's face.
Why has no shoe company ever made a pair of Sonic shoes?
I bet they have.
They must have.
There was
I'd have a pair of those.
Sonic had its own soap shoes in Sonic Adventure 2.
Yes.
Didn't he? That was a brand of shoes. So I assume you might have been able to buy something that looked like Sonic shoes.
Maybe. I'd like some Nike, some high tops that look like Sonic shoes. That'd be cool.
I designed a shoebox for soap shoes after playing Sonic Adventure 2 for a graphic design project.
Did you?
Yeah, back at college. So Sonic inspired me to make a shoebox. That's the long and short of it. So the Amiibo's cool. I think they're great quality. I'm not intending to collect a lot of them.
No, I'm kind of at the stage where I have Amiibo remorse, where I'm actually thinking of shifting some of mine.
Is there any other Amiibos that I see that I'd like? Well, Pac-Man.
Yeah, Pac-Man's good.
Pac-Man looks great. There will now, I guess, be a Ryu Amiibo coming
out. But I think it'll look weird, because none of the humans look good.
Look a little bit weird, might be tempted to pick it up. As I was with Smash Brothers, which I did also purchase.
Yes, 2 copies.
But I wasn't yet... Well, I won't tell you why I purchased
yes, two copies. Yes, but two copies.
But I, let's just say I got two copies at the price of one copy. Because over here in Denmark, you're lucky to find it. You can't find less than 40 quid.
No, you can't. We checked.
It's most likely going to be 50 quid. If you go GameStop anyway, it's going to be 50 quid. So, yeah, I got two copies for the same price as the GameStop copy.
Okay.
And one I'm hopefully getting shipped over Denmark, but the seller hasn't got back to me yet.
Yeah.
About that. Let's hope the postage isn't going to be too much. The other one's slightly cheaper, going to the UK. It's going to be a gift for a friend.
Who knows?
And
who
he probably doesn't listen to this podcast. So
well,
he,
that's
he
good.
Know.
Yeah. We won't mention who it is, though. It isn't our good friend, Austin.
Yeah. He's already got it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I've been buying. There's probably a few other ones that slipped under the radar there. And by the end of this podcast, I'll have probably bought more on eBay.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the wonders of smartphones, right? You're only complaining to me yesterday, like, oh, there's too many screens, there's too many people on the internet doing things, and then you're there buying games in the middle of a podcast.
Well, I say it, I can see the benefit of smart devices.
You can.
But, yeah, it's also the concerns with smart devices. But we won't get into that on the...
no, we won't.
The podcast.
It's a podcast. Tonight. On its own, I think.
I want to ask you, Matthew, now, before I talk about what I've played, because there's also a few there, what you've bought.
Right.
Can
I'm
you remember anything?
I'm literally, I've got, fortunately, I document these things on my smartphone device. so I'm just going to reel them off. So my girlfriend's parents came from Hungary. I'd ordered some games off a Hungarian eBay equivalent because they were very, very cheap. So I got Boomer and Azamax World, I got Super Off-Road, and I got The Adventures of Star Saber, three games that are quite obscure. Well, Boomer's is an American game.
What console are they for,
Matthew? These are for the Game Boy, Thomas. I'm just going to list all of the Game Boy
The Game Boy?
Games. Yes. Well, I'm almost 79 games to go. I'm getting there. Slowly
almost
79, surely.
That's very specific. Almost 79.
No, it's 79. I was going to say almost 75, because I got one or two on the way. But I got 79 to go at the moment, so yeah. I got those. Super Off-Road is all right. It's quite surprising. I prefer the NES one. Star Saber's good. Boomer and Azamax World was totally different from what I was expecting. It's actually quite nice. Then I stopped in a store in Germany called Spielzeug Paradise, which is a shop in Berlin, which are very reasonable priced games and a lot of good titles that I still needed. And from there, I purchased Battleship Choplifter 2, Frank Something's Big Hurt Baseball. It was €3. I was like, I'm not going to pay more for that. It's quite an obscure baseball game, so I got that. Paperboy 2, 4-in-1 Fun Pack Volume 2, and Million Secret Castle. Million Secret Castle should remain a secret. It's fucking shit. Then
you can warn
I
people about these bad games.
Went to Supertron, a place I've previously mentioned on the podcast, as long-time listeners know, which is a gaming museum in Vienna. I did also It means nothing to me. I did go to a video game museum also in Berlin called Computer Spiel Museum, which I really, really recommend for anyone in Berlin. It's really
Berlin.
Cool. Oh, Berlin. And Berlin. It's good. It's really nice. Everything's exhibited really well. There's rooms done out to look like 1970s homes and 1980s bedrooms and stuff. It's really cool. Check out at Game Boyle on Twitter, and you can see some pictures I posted from there on the media stream. But there, I went to Supertron. I bought a copy of The Hunt for Red October boxed so I could just do a Sean Connery voice all day at my girlfriend for the rest of the day in Vienna. I got a copy of Hyperdunk. I got a copy of Turtles 2 Back from the Sewers.
Hyperdunk? Is that a game about dunking teabags?
No, unfortunately not. It's a Konami game. It's actually an NBA title in the States, but they released it as Hyperdunk in Europe because they didn't want to play the NBA license.
Okay.
And Dennis the Menace, which is actually, surprisingly...
Which Dennis the Menace?
An okay game.
Our British one or
no,
the
it's
movie?
Based on the movie. Surprisingly, an okay game.
I saw that movie at the cinema.
I saw it in my house, I think. I don't think I went to the cinema. And then, fast-forwarding through the stream... I went to Hungary where I bought Splatoon, I bought a box copy of Super Mario Land, I bought a copy of Yeti Sports Deluxe for the PS1, a copy of Bubble Bobble, a copy of Jumping Flash 2, and a Neo Geo Pocket, which I currently have no games for. But it's a pretty handheld, and fortunately, unlike the Game Boy, it hasn't got 7 million games.
How much did that cost you?
The Neo Geo Pocket cost me £18.
Right, I'd be looking to pay more for an N-Gage than Neo Geo Pocket.
Yes, and that's why I'm telling you, you shouldn't buy an N-Gage.
I bought Worms World Party for the N-Gage now.
Great.
That cost me £8.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's probably a terrible version.
It looked pretty good from the video.
But it's an N-Gage game. They're not very good.
Oh, dear.
You played games on, like, your Nokia 3310, right? They're probably better than the N-Gage.
Never had a Nokia 3310.
Do you not play Snake 2?
Never had a Nokia.
In its all its glory. Oh, Tom.
I had a Philips. Bless
you. Yeah?
Phone.
Really?
It was blue. And you could play, like... What could you play on it? Some dice game. I can't remember.
You were robbed of a childhood.
The screen was only, like, that big.
Yeah.
In tiny, tiny screen.
Was it a Philips Savvy?
Savvy, yeah.
I had one of those. I think everyone had that
metallic
phone. Yeah,
blue.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. It's good to
It was
size.
A chunky phone. I remember it used to have a little emote on the text messages.
Yeah, you know the games I'm talking about?
Yes,
somebody put your birthday in there or something.
Yes.
You get some kind of luck rundown.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, how lucky you're going to be that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky in love, lucky...
Yes, I do remember
general.
That.
Yeah.
Terrible. anyways, I got back home from Hungary then after that landfall of Game Boy games. Got Penguin Land for the Game Boy, boxed. Japanese, look at the box art, Tom. It's really lovely.
Beautiful.
Sorry, podcast listeners.
Well, you could look it on Twitter, I suppose.
Copy of R-Type DX for the Game Boy Color.
Or a game I played many hours.
Copy of Asterix and Obelix for the Game Boy Color, which is all right. And a terrible, terrible bootleg for an upcoming Boy Curious episode of Digimon Diamond.
What?
It's a Digimon ROM hack of a game that someone's made. It's a bootleg title, but it's terrible.
So it's not based off another game?
No, it's not. It's its own game, and it's fucking awful. Like, words cannot describe how bad that game is. I couldn't even beat the first level. I gave up in frustration because the controls are absolutely horrible. Yeah, picked up one or two other Japanese games as well from our good friend Adam at Games World Bodmin. Put on Facebook on the Games World Bodmin Facebook group, which is facebook.com/GamesWithBodmin, I think, where he kind of posts to his Facebook followers like, hey, I've got these games in. Does anyone want them before I list them on the website? Which is a very nice service of him for loyal customers.
And he does also give away nice stickers.
He does indeed with his purchases. You can also buy them, which I did for some of the Game Boy ones.
Yeah, they're really good because they kind of like stick them down and then peel them off.
Yes.
Like pixel art and such. Sonic Team logo, I've got that on my folder.
It's very cool stuff, even like modern things. He's got like Gears of War logos and stuff, which are kind of cool.
Yeah, they're really great.
Yeah, yeah. But from Adam, I got a copy of Tower of Duraga, which is a roguelike game, which is actually in English. I was quite surprised.
We're back on Game Boy again.
Yes. I bought a Gundam game because I was like, oh, this must be the Gundam platformer. I think I've got every other Gundam game. It's like Chibi Knights.
Oh, right.
But no, it's a fucking JRPG. So I was like, oh, great, that's one that'll go in the pile I never play.
Yeah.
I got a Kamen Rider, is that his name?
He's a bit like...
He was called Masked Rider in English.
He rides
a motorbike. He looks like a grasshopper. I got a racing game of that, which is a top-down racing game, which is actually pretty interesting. No, not like an isometric perspective. It's literally...
Well, Micro Machines isn't isometric.
It's almost...
Top-down.
Yeah, I guess it's close to Micro Machines then, but it's not got the
like
foresight
Spy
on
Hunter.
The track. Yeah, a little bit like Spy Hunter.
Okay.
I think it's probably a better description. That was pretty fun, and I got a game called Patlabor, which had a giant mech on the cover, and I was
based off the movie?
Yes, it is. I was like, I've never seen that game before. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
And it's a pseudo platformer / JRPG. It's pretty interesting mechanics to it. I've never seen it before, so I was like, I'll have that. Yes. Then I went to a flea market for 5 kroner each. I picked up a copy of Crash Bandicoot, Crash Team Racing, so we can finally do a Tom and Matt attempt of that, even though I know you have it, but I wanted it because it's 5 kroner. Copy of Magical Racing Tour Disney World, which I have no idea if it's any good. It had Chip and Dale in cars on the cover, and I was like, for 5 kroner, I'll give that a try.
I see that about.
And a copy of Grand Theft Auto, because I, believe it or not, don't own the original Grand Theft Auto. The only experience of the original game I had was playing it on the demo because I was too young and I had to turn the volume down because everyone was swearing at me and calling me a cunt on the streets, and I didn't want my mother to hear that at the tender age of 12. I also picked up a copy of Wii Music because I've been long curious about that. Yeah. It was 10 kroner or 20 kroner, I think. So
I've been long curious about Wii Music.
Yeah, I'm sure we can do a TMA quickie to see about that. I got a game called Job Island Hardworking People as well.
I remember that.
This is by Hudson. Kind of looked like Incredible Crisis from looking at the back of it. There's all mini games based on different jobs and stuff. So I was like, oh, I'll have some of that. Also bought Megazord that weekend. And then my final three games are a copy of Punch-Out for the NES, Journey to Silius, which is a Sunsoft shooter, which was originally going to be based on Terminator, but they lost the license, so they made their own game.
Yeah, I heard
it's that. Very, very good. And a copy of Wayne's World for the Game Boy, which isn't very good. It's actually pretty fucking terrible. It's one of the worst games I've ever played. Oh, and then I traded my mate Dave for a copy of Ren and Stimpy Vidiots and Royal Rumble. Job done. A lot of games.
Phew.
Yeah, so what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Okay, so I mentioned I had Jonathan around. I actually had him over another night where my girlfriend Claire was over and we got together for a three-player Monopoly Plus on PS3. What a fantastic experience. This was an epic Monopoly game, as they usually are. Lasted for 3 hours.
Okay.
I can testify that Monopoly Plus is a good digital version of Monopoly. It plays very well. It's nice to see visual representations of the houses and hotels, which they change depending on the property and the value of the property. The houses will look different, you know.
That's cool.
As you turn them into hotels, they look different. It's
That's a nice
cool.
little touch. So like Old Kent Road, for example, would be like a shabby old house. And then going like Victoria Park.
But the weird thing about it actually is that the houses and the streets are American. Even though it's got the original Monopoly names from the British game,
yeah,
it's like a motel, for example. They get little trailers turned into motels on the cheap, the brown ones.
Ah, okay.
So that's a bit strange. But in this game, you can actually customize it.
Okay.
And change the names of the places.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And you can buy new boards and things, downloadable boards and stuff. Anyway, if you want a console version of Monopoly, this was on offer for about £4 £4 on the PlayStation Store. Very happy with the purchase. We had a fantastic evening playing that game. And I won.
Yeah.
It's neither here or there. But
something very interesting
nice
as well you told me was that when you roll the dice physically on the game, you can knock the pieces over.
You can knock the pieces over. But unfortunately, you don't shake the controller to roll the dice.
Oh,
you just
man.
Press a,
yes,
hold down
there's
the button.
No... Is there,
there is a
gyroscope in the PS3?
In the six-axis controller, yes.
Oh, I didn't even realise that.
That's why it's called six-axis.
Mm.
It was used in Lair. You know, you could control the dragon in Lair with the six-axis controller. It's used in other places. Well,
I don't know because you're the only person that bought Lair.
I didn't buy Lair. I avoided Lair because it was terrible.
Exactly.
Apparently.
So why here?
Yeah. Anyway... I completed Roundabout, at least the story mode of Roundabout.
What the hell is Roundabout?
Oh, I can't remember Roundabout. It's Giorgio in her amazing revolving limousine.
Oh!
Yeah.
No, hang on. No, I don't. I'm confused.
It's the one with the
live-action
cutscenes in.
Oh, okay,
and
yes.
And it's sort of like Crazy Taxi from a Grand Theft Auto-like perspective.
Yes.
But your vehicle constantly revolves, so you have to. It's difficult to negotiate the roads and obstacles.
What format is this on?
PS4.
Yeah, I thought it was.
It's also on Vita too. It's a fantastic game. Lots of personality, like nothing else you've played recently.
Okay.
Mainly because it's got really corny dialogue and cool characters. It's all FMV, the cutscenes, and there's a little bit of a narrative going through, which is quite rewarding by the time you get to the end of story mode.
Okay.
Which is only 25% of the game. It's actually quite short. There's three areas, three towns that you go through in the story mode. And then you get the option to play the entire game in one big chunk. And you get timed on it. It cuts out all the cutscenes and you just play through the missions. I completed it in 40 minutes, ranked 7th in the world. The number one rank did it in 15 minutes. I don't know how... It's a miracle.
You're ranked 7th in the world.
Yeah. I found on Roundabout, funnily enough, I was doing the missions and such, and I'd complete them, and I'd find I was ranked 4. I was ranked 3 in the world. I'm very high in the rankings.
Do you think you're the only person that bought the game?
I think this is down to maybe the game hasn't sold as many copies as maybe some other games on the PlayStation Store.
I'm going to go download this. I'm going to see if I can beat your thing to be 7th in the world.
Absolutely wonderful, enjoyable game.
It's like a fiber, right?
Nah, it's $11.99 it was.
Oof.
But I there's nothing else like it out there. I recommend it highly. Unless it might turn up on a sale somewhere, so maybe hold off.
Do you think
I just recommend getting it because it's great.
I might do. Do you think like VR games will see a resurgence in FMV?
It's a possibility. From what I saw, it's like CG rendered girls that you chat up. There's this summer lesson game, Japanese.
Oh, that thing.
And she talks to you and leans into you suggestively. And yeah.
Of course.
Made I was reading something on Tech about it, made the guy playing it feel a bit like a pervert because he was an older guy and he was quite enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
Being lavish with attention from this quite cute looking anime style girl.
And there's nothing sadder than getting an erection in a VR helmet at a press conference.
So yes, of course, the future of virtual reality games will probably be some sort of pornography, maybe even live action.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, what else have I been playing? Nothing like that. I played Mega Man 2 on the Game Boy, which I purchased after you had recommended it on Game Boy.
What did you think?
At first, I thought, I like the NES version better. It's a much better game.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm finding that one easier than the Game Boy version, right? But then something clicked. And I went back to the Game Boy version. Yes, and I beat the first boss, and I got the weapon. Then I was amazed to go back into the level and do things I couldn't do before because I had that weapon. And then it went on from there, and I defeated the first four bosses and got onto Wily's Castle. I haven't played it since, but it did click to me. I've got Mega Man now. And actually, if you listen to my last video on my own that I did, I was saying, don't know what the fuss is about, still don't like Mega Man. But on the bus journey to pick up Claire from the airport that weekend she was over, I got Mega Man.
Finally. Yeah. Now you.
And I couldn't stop playing it.
You can share the joy of Mega Man. Next step is for you to do what I do on all the biographic videos, and I kind of realised that, oh shit, I didn't realise I was even doing that on purpose, is to just play the game in the Mega Buster, except for the bosses. I realised I'm doing that, and everyone was just like, why aren't you using, like, Fireman's weapon on this stage? It'll kill everything in one shot. And I'm like, because I play hardcore.
Well, I found there was a level. I think it's the first level you can set in the top left-hand corner, which is quite hard. I kept trying to do that one first. But I found once I got the Leaf Shield, I was able to traverse the platforms. You're going up these platforms and these things are flying at you.
Yeah.
And usually you can't really avoid them very well. You get hurt. It's hard sometimes, though, to shoot them. And nearly, I thought, impossible. But once you've got the Leaf Shield, they just run into it. That was actually the moment where I thought, aha, I get it.
I'm so proud you finally got Mega Man.
And actually, it was your recommendation that
Mega Man 2
broke me.
That's good. I'm
that
happy.
For the virtual console on the 3DS. Yes. So I recommend it. Mega Man 2 on the Game Boy. Even though many consider it to be the worst in the series, as Matt has said, it's a good one for beginners to pick up.
Absolutely is. If you want to beat a Mega Man game and you've never beaten a Mega Man game, I would highly recommend you get Mega Man 2 on the Game Boy because it is by far the easiest. Like, even the Mega Man... Well, he's not even a Mega Man killer. There's a weird thing where you fight Quint, who's Mega Man from the future. Doesn't really make a lot of sense, but he's the easiest of like the Game Boy specific bosses.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend that if you like this one, maybe go back and play the first one. Okay. First one is hard, but the third one is very, very hard. I wouldn't suggest going forward.
NES ones as well. I have the Mega Man 3 on the NES and Mega Man 2 on the NES.
Yeah.
I think I have those two.
Yeah. Those games are good. They're hard. The first one on the NES is harder than all the rest of them, I would say.
That's interesting. So there we go.
Yeah.
Moving on. I played these next two games with my girlfriend. We played Peggle 2, took it in turns.
Okay.
Great game. Recommend it.
Yeah.
Peggle 2. Fun game for couples to play together.
Yes.
Nice, relaxing time.
I'm looking forward to playing Woolly World with my girlfriend next weekend.
I'll play the less sort of coupley game, but equally as enjoyable, Dungeons & Dragons on the PS3.
Oh, the arcade game.
Yeah. Fantastic. We both loved it. We listened to, actually, Asia while playing it on the record player, which was quite fitting with the fantasy setting rather well.
That's cool.
Hopefully. So I can't testify to how good the music is.
We'll find out hopefully soon. If I get this arcade cabinet that I shan't mention anymore, then it will be on there so we can play it.
It's a fantastic game, one of the best side-scrolling beat-em-ups I've ever played.
Okay.
Because there's more depth to it. There's items that you can pick up and kind of customize your characters. The characters themselves are great. Graphics are nice. It's well animated. There's a lot of variety in it too.
Just a shame it wasn't on a home console until now.
Well, it was on the Saturn.
Was it
the
really? Japanese Saturn. Oh, yeah, but the prices of that game were ridiculous.
So
it's
great it got released on the PS3, the Wii U, and maybe probably the Xbox too.
I think maybe the 360.
Bit more Black Ops. Every now and again, I play a level. I'm
every
nearly there.
Every now and again, I shoot a bat.
Nearly completed it. Shocked by the graphic violence. Well, not shocked because I expect it from Call of Duty, but there's certain elements to Black Ops 2 which are really over the top.
Really? You're the first one to mention that to me.
So it's a good game. I like it. Sonic Boom. I went back to it.
Did you regret it instantly?
No. Once I got past the very irritating boat level, over the top boat level, really frustrating, not much fun, and got into the more explorative levels, which aren't very Sonic. In fact, before that, there was one of the more Sonic-y bits where you're running really fast.
Yeah.
They just seem kind of tacked on. Like, the gameplay wasn't really developed very much for them. They're kind of there just because they have to be there because it's a Sonic game.
Okay.
They're very simple. They're very short. It's pointless.
Yeah.
You actually get into the more platform exploring dungeon type levels with puzzles like Zelda. It's not quite like Zelda. That's going too far to say it's like Zelda, but there are some kind of lever and object based puzzles that are really quite rewarding.
Okay.
One thing that isn't so good about this game is the dialogue. The what these characters come out with.
They're so edgy, man.
No, it's really, really irritating.
But they're edgy.
Like, he's playing his Knuckles. He's hanging off a wall. He says, "Hey, sorry, you know, I'm just hanging around. That was a joke."
They're edgy.
It's really... I had to turn the sound off at one point because it was annoying me so much. Because they're constantly nattering all the time. They don't need to. Sonic used to be cool.
It's just kids got no entertainment, man. Kids need these things.
I know... Knuckles is the worst culprit. He's meant to be really dumb in this game. And he comes out with the worst stuff you could imagine.
I don't know.
He used to be cool, Knuckles.
Yeah, he did.
So if they left that out, there's parts of this game, Sonic Boom, which are really enjoyable. And it's probably the best 3D platforming that's ever been done in a Sonic game.
Interesting.
In the sections where you can actually have the freedom to explore. Because it's more like a traditional platform. It's not trying to be fast.
Jesus, we're going to piss off so many Dreamcast fans during this episode.
Yeah, but those games are glitchy. Sonic Adventure 2 maybe less so, but Adventure 1, some of the areas in that can be... When it tries to be just a straightforward platform game, it's just not very good. It works best in the speedy ones. Like Speed Highway on Sonic Adventure is very good. The first level... the beach one, very
big
good.
The cat stages, excellent.
Terrible. So, yes, in terms of 2D platform, 3D platforming, Sonic Boom, probably the best they've ever.
Did you ever play the 3DS game? Because I hear it is better.
Of Sonic Boom?
Yes.
That 2D platforming? Yes. It probably is rather good.
But I feared that there is going to be a sequel now because they weren't happy with the 3D one, so there's going to be another 2D Sonic.
Well, I can see there are elements of Sonic Boom which aren't really very good, but there are other elements which are very enjoyable.
Okay.
It's a little bit like Sonic Lost World. There are parts of that which are fun, but you constantly run into irritating bits.
Yeah.
So a consistently good Sonic game that's in 3D, we've had yet to see, I think, really.
Do you think you'll ever get there?
If
Nintendo make it...
Even Sonic Generations isn't all 3D. But actually, that was maybe the best sort of 3D. That's the best one.
Okay.
Yeah, because it also got 2D stages.
Yeah.
Best 3D realization of Sonic. Whew. Still talking about Sonic.
It's a very low bar, though, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Gunman Clive 2 on the 3DS.
As good as the first?
Great sequel. Yeah, I'd say, you know, shake it up a bit. You got to ride a panda. That was fun.
Yeah.
Panda, lots panda of bear. Variety in the levels. It kind of takes it into space, into different areas you didn't, the first one didn't go to.
That sounds cool.
I really like Gunman Clive. They're very cheap games for the DS as well.
I need to buy the first Gunman Clive.
Yeah, I recommend picking them both up. They're really cheap. Something also that caught my eye was there's something at the moment where you, on the Wii U, where you can preview upcoming indie games.
Really?
Nintendo calling them Nindies.
Oh, okay.
Aren't
interesting.
They clever? There's a Wii U version of Mutant Muds coming out.
Yeah.
There's also they're releasing that Sonic-like 2D platformer, which was on Mac. I downloaded it for Mac.
Oh, yes. I can't remember
something
the name
like
of it.
Something like Galaxy Planet.
Yes.
Fantasy Planet. Oh.
I can't remember the name of it, Brian. I don't know what you're talking about.
Something like that. If you're curious, go on the Nindie section on the Wii U shop and find a game that looks like Sonic. And it also plays like Sonic, and it plays like the classic Sonic games on the Mega Drive.
Interesting.
It's really, really, really good.
It's kind of surprising how, like,
you get a full first level as well.
Indies are doing games that the big companies aren't. Like, I saw a news article the other day that Nintendo won Axiom Verge on the Nintendo eShop. And it's just like, wow, you're actually realizing that this is filling a hole that you aren't filling, and then they announced that terrible looking Metroid Prime game. It's a bit dire.
Maybe that's going to be good. No one's, I don't know, did they have it for demo?
It's a fucking 3v3 shooting game. It's not a Metroid title.
This is what people have taken offence with, but it could be a good game, regardless.
It could be a good... Why is it a Metroid title? Why isn't it something else?
Nintendo do a space game. It's an existing franchise.
Come on, though. They don't even look Metroid. It looks like it's slapped on after the fact.
I don't know. I'm not going to discount that game yet, like everyone else seems to be doing. I don't really care because I'm not a massive Metroid fan. So.
I'm not a massive fucking multiplayer fan. Like,
yeah. Well, multiplayer on handheld is always a little bit difficult. I love the on the couch multiplayer with friends on one TV.
And that's where it would make sense. Fantastic. On the Wii U if it was like a short indie game or something. Mm. But it isn't.
But there are people, I guess, who do play multiplayer games on the 3DS.
Well,
in fact,
people
Dave
play Smash Brothers and
Dave
stuff.
Gets together with friends, including Mel, another Blast Processor, at a pub every week and plays 3DS games together. So
yeah.
Perhaps that's a great place for a game like that.
Maybe, but I mean, like, in the vast majority of people who play handhelds, it's generally a singular experience.
It's
generally your commuting.
It's great on a bus when there's a lot of people who've got Mario Kart.
Yeah.
That's quite good. Well, if you're travelling with friends.
Yes, it can be fun.
Yeah. But going back to this Nindie thing, if you do download a preview, and it's definitely worth doing, you get 15% off the game when it's released.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's encouraging trying these games. And there's a few things I saw on there which I noticed getting released on PS4, for example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check that out.
There's a few things on that eShop I need to buy at the moment. I need to pick up Earthbound Beginnings. I need to get Affordable Space Adventure finally. Mm. It's been on my to-buy list since we talked with Napnop Games, and I still haven't got around to it. Yeah. Too many games in my backlog.
Too many Game Boy games, Matthew.
Too many Game Boy games.
But you've also been playing something else that's not Game Boy, haven't you?
I have. I played a game called Sargia for the Game Boy, which is going to be this week's biographic, so I shan't talk about that.
You don't want to hear about that one.
Very
want to hear
good
about
game.
The other one.
Yeah, I started playing Shenmue again. Regular listeners to the podcast will remember I bought a Dreamcast about this time last year, I think, with the aim of playing the original Shenmue, because I never had. And I thought I'd got quite far into it, but after playing it for the last 2 days, turns out I didn't even beat the first disc, which is quite embarrassing. After last week, I was like, yeah, I'm on the third disc. But now I can fortunately say I am on the third disc of Shenmue. I'm going to go get a job, which I know is forklift driving. And I've heard very mixed things about the forklift driving in that game.
Now, forklift racing in the mornings before you start work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the forklift stuff. I mean, you do quite a bit of it.
That's the whole third disc, though, right? From what I understand.
Oh, there's a fantastic finale.
Okay.
Yeah. Things really... the shit hits the fan.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I'm going to complete it. I will probably do it before the next podcast because I'm going away for a couple of days again to sunny London town. But from what I've played, I've quite enjoyed it. I really like the mood and the atmosphere of the game. That being said, that game has not aged well in terms of gameplay.
Well, it's very neat gameplay, I'd say. There's not much like it.
There isn't.
And it is what it is.
Except every Prince of Persia game.
Prince of Persia?
Every Prince of Persia game, I would argue, since Sands of Time or whatever it was, the PS2 one, has been a series of quick time events and short skirmishes.
Quick time events?
Yes.
Right, well...
Like, the gameplay...
At the time, that was quite new.
Yes, I understand
we've played it a lot since then, and perhaps going back to it now... Yeah, it's not as unique as it was back then.
No, it isn't. There are very nice touches in it, like, and I will say it is a game that you should play because there is nothing as emotive as this game.
Cinematic.
It's also kind of weirdly realistic in a way that I've never really experienced in a game.
Yeah.
Not so much the visuals, obviously. They are still 1999 pretty nice.
When you look at the
character
models, yeah, especially.
But I was going to say they've held up pretty well. Like, they look. I wouldn't say like an early PS3 game, that's perhaps pushing it, but like, they look like a good game. It still looks like very late PS2 or very early.
At least
like,
it's
mid
sharp.
Xbox.
Being on the Dreamcast, you know, the visuals are
all right.
A lot sharper than the PS2.
I'm playing it on 60 hertz, so like, it looks okay. Like, it's not really muddy or anything. I'm quite surprised.
It's quite striking. The Dreamcast had this thing where the graphics did appear very sharp on everything, and that always put it ahead of me than the PS3. PS2, sorry. Because it's all blurry around the edges and everything.
It is, yeah.
It's not on the Dreamcast. It's like, I think it's something to do with the technology inside. It was based on an arcade machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of depth. It's a good game, but, well, it's a good story. I want to separate that, because I think the gameplay has aged rather poorly. I don't get why I'm using a D-pad when there's an analog stick. And some of that control feels very cumbersome. Yeah. Like, especially when you're in the house and you're trying to use the phone and you keep fucking stepping off the thing and he takes his shoes off and then you have to step back up and he has to put his shoes back on. Yeah. Things like that are very frustrating. Also trying to navigate around, like, the altar room and stuff in the house where you have to talk to... Is it his... It's not his mother, is it? It's his housekeeper.
Ine-san. Yeah.
Is that his mother or is it housekeeper, right? Like, when you're trying to talk to her about going to Hong Kong and stuff, like, trying to get around the tables to get to her becomes very tricky because you can't run in there, you have to walk, and so you kind of bump into objects and you try and manoeuvre.
Yeah, he didn't fix that for Shenmue 2 either, but maybe Shenmue 3.
Well, in all fairness, like, it is, what, at this point, a 16-year-old game. And so I am taking that into account, I am being nitpicky, but I know there are people... with today's standards, who won't tolerate this kind of thing in a game, and the experience will kind of be lost on them, I think. Because, I mean, there are people who don't even like N64 titles.
Not about how you move through the game.
No,
though,
it isn't.
Is it?
And that's what I'm trying
to
get across.
It's not about the control of the character. Like,
I must separate.
Yeah.
The feel and the story of the game are top-notch. They are absolutely
stellar.
Even
the fighting is good. Because it's like Virtua Fighter. If you play Virtua Fighter...
I don't know. Like,
it's very similar to Virtua Fighter.
It is. No, of course it is very similar to Virtua Fighter.
The
However,
same
very,
moves
very similar to Virtua Fighter on the Saturn. And I would argue that fighting has also very much evolved since then.
Just think how good Shenmue 3 is going to be if it updates it like that.
Yeah, that could be very interesting, actually, because it kind of could segue into them making Virtua Fighter 6 if they already do all the work they need to on the engine.
What's interesting about something Yu Suzuki, the creator, said himself about the fighting in Shenmue is you're always fighting with a goal. It's always to continue the story.
Yes.
There's always a reason for fighting.
Yes.
And it's worked rather well into the gameplay.
Yeah, it does. It really flows. That being said, fuck that stealth section.
Is there a stealth section?
I can't remember that. You must sneak into the old warehouse.
Oh, the warehouse, yeah.
I did it so many times and failed because of those shitty controls.
Do you know what? It's not a perfect game, but great things don't have to be perfect.
No, they don't.
This is the thing, isn't it? It's a curious game, and never been anything like it, and it's the world, it's the characters which inhabit that world. You want to go back, you want to see Tom, you want to see Fuxan, you know, and
poor Fuxan,
Nozomi, and all the other characters which are in the city, like the guy who make a special patch just for you.
Yes, he will.
And the guy who says, "I broke up with Yoriko." You see, I remember these things to this day. I was to joke with them between friends, me and my friend Adam and Gareth as well. We would play Shenmue a lot.
Yeah.
And we would also do the impressions of the characters to each other and, "Yo, bro." You know, and there's Tom. Oh, really enthusiastic guy at the hot dog store.
Yes.
The music in the tomato convenience store is very nice.
It is.
Bob's Pizzeria.
I actually kind of like the music in the Yakuza place. Yeah. In like something industries, like Nigami Industries, where you have to go in to find about Charlie and where he is. And the Yakuza guy's like, "Oh, he walks around the place like he owns the town." And he's just got this weird broken cadence that everyone in that game has. And it makes me chuckle.
I would listen to the music a lot. On the Passport disc, I think you can listen to all the music.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you what's on there.
I used to put it on while I did the washing up at home. I put on Shenmue music. I also did that with Phantasy Star Online. I'd leave it on the title screen and listen to the relaxing
God, that Phantasy Star theme's awesome. I didn't buy as many of the Gashapon toys as I did last time. Mm. I did get like a few cool ones.
From the Bonanza Brothers, I'm sure you had one of them.
I got one of the Bonanza Brothers. Yeah. I got the Chow from Sonic. I got like weird stuff this time. Like last time I played it, I got loads of Sega things.
Tails.
I got loads of shit last time. I didn't get any this time. I got like puzzles and super balls and dice and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, okay, fuck this. This isn't the playthrough for getting cool stuff. Mm. So I stopped doing that. I played a lot of Space Harrier. Like,
that's this is what you do to fill in time.
Man, that's a really good port of Space Harrier. Yeah. Like, it made me miss Space Harrier. I haven't played that game since I was a wee lad. I'm going to have to buy a copy of Space Harrier.
If you love your QuickTime events, do you play the QuickTime event machine?
I actually got into the medium difficulty on the QuickTime event machine.
Excite QTE.
Do you have to, like, mash the button? Because any time I press the button once, like, in a reaction, it goes, meh, and I bump into something. So, like, I had to press them, like, multiple times.
I think it's all timing.
Honestly, like, I pressed A as soon as he came up, and he went, nah, and I was like, fuck you.
Is it only A? Is it certain buttons you have trouble
with? No, it's all of them. Okay. Like, I have to press them, like, twice for them to register.
I can't remember.
Actually. Either that or the Dreamcast controller hasn't got the sensitivity that I'm now used to in consoles, where I have to properly, like, hit the button.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've used a Dreamcast controller, actually. But,
Yeah, but all in all, I'm really, really enjoying Shenmue. Like,
and it's a game you want to go back and be in that world. Because I've played through that game about 3 times now. Because I just like being in the world. And also, you can do different things every time you play. When you first play through, you might miss a lot of events which are only happen on certain days or when you do certain things.
Yeah, and different stuff's happened on this playthrough than happened last time.
Yeah.
Like, I had a lot more interaction with the cat last time than I have on this one. Yeah. I haven't really had any events. Like, the cat went missing last time, but it didn't happen this time.
Megumi's cat.
Yes.
Yeah. You can feed it different things.
You can. I gave it a cracker by accident because I forgot that, you know, like, I pressed left to go over to the sardines.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't work because when you have the option of do something or do something else, you have to press the direction rather than, like, selecting it and clicking A.
So endearing, that game, the characters, the way Ryo interacts with the cat, for instance.
Yes.
You know, but he is, you know, no good with the ladies, is he?
No, he's not.
He's no good with Nozomi. Have you had any awkward phone calls with Nozomi where you just ring her up and she goes, "Oh, hi, Ryo.
No, I tried to ring her to say thank you for the flowers and she wasn't home." And he's like, "No, never mind."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hi, Nozomi. What do you want, Ryo?" Nothing. Bye.
Yeah, but, like, I thought she was going to be the girl on the cover Shen Ding Dong. Yes. Why the fuck is she not in that game other than like that dream sequence?
No, she's in the second one.
Why is she on the cover? Why is she important?
Yeah,
I know, but
story.
Like she's not in the game. It's like, why is she on the cover?
Yeah, and she's only in the very end of Shenmue 2 as well.
Really?
Yep. I won't tell you about the end of Shenmue 2.
No, please don't, because I've bought it. Now that I know Shenmue 3 is coming, I finally invested in Shenmue 2.
It's not what you expect. Shenmue 2's got a lot of action up until the fourth disc. And the fourth disc, not a lot happens. I'll just tell you that.
Okay.
But she's in it.
Right.
You do a lot of walking around talking to her.
Okay. Do I actually have to walk, or does it just do FMC cutscenes?
Yeah,
FMB.
You do a bit of walking.
Okay.
There's a few quick time events in there.
Okay. That caught me off guard the first time I had a quick time event in a cutscene. Put the controller down because someone tweeted at me, and then I fucked up the quick time event because it was happening. I was like, oh shit!
Yeah.
Can't be complacent.
Shenmue. It's nice because that game's quite small as well. It's kind of cozy. The second one's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Than the first one, and I like the coziness of the first. That it's quite. It's not the longest game in the world. It's.
No, like I looked at howlongtobeat.com before I started playing, and it was like 21 hours. I've not played it anywhere near that long.
I guess you can.
I guess you can get invested in the world. You can do loads of quick time events stuff. I really like the attention to detail in it as well. Like the fact that it's almost Christmas and there's a Santa Claus walking down the street is pretty nice.
Yeah, the weather changes, isn't it?
It does. It snows. And sometimes it rains.
The weather. Yeah, there's a lot to that. When you use a phone, it's the old dial phones, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's set in 86.
86, yeah. It takes fucking ages to ring anyone.
There's stuff like if you play it for so long, things happen. Because you're only meant to complete the game in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And I think it fails if you carry on too long or something like that.
Really?
I'm going to read up on that.
Yeah, I'll give that
a
look.
Because you can play it up to a certain point. Because effectively, you could keep the game going forever if you don't continue the story.
Yeah.
But after a certain point, it forces you to either continue the story or it doesn't let you.
Really?
I can't remember.
That's interesting. Does, like, the world end? Does he come back and take the other mirror or something?
Because you go into 87. I think you start off in 86 and you end in 87.
I'm not in 87 yet. I'm on the third disc. I'm not even at Christmas yet, I don't think. It's late December. It's getting into, like, the 20th of December.
You know, when you reach that final disc and the ending, you're so invested. Feel so much for these characters.
Yeah.
That you really want to do your best to... I don't want to spoil it too much because the ending is very exciting.
Okay, well, I'm almost there anyway.
Whew, Shenmue. There's lots to talk about with that game.
There is.
It's a good one.
I think we could probably do an entire podcast on it. I think maybe we should do like a Shenmue special once I've beaten both of them.
It's been a while since I played 2. I've not played it half as much as 1.
Okay.
So. I don't have the means to play 2 at the moment. Maybe over summer.
Yes.
Maybe I'll play it over summer.
Play it on the original Xbox.
Oh, and Dreamcast. I haven't got it on the Xbox.
You haven't got it on the Xbox?
Got it on the Dreamcast, no.
Can you actually switch to the Japanese language with like subtitles
in
on
Shenmue
the...
Shenmue 1?
Yeah.
No.
That's a bit of a shame.
I'm pretty certain you can't. In Shenmue 2, on the Dreamcast, at least,
it's only
in
Japanese.
And then on the Xbox, you can switch, I think, between Japanese and English.
I need to find my...
Never play Shenmue 2 in English.
I need to find my copy of that. I've got it, but I don't know what it is. Mm. I told you this, right? Like, my copy of that and Stranger's Wrath, like, both of them mysteriously disappeared. And I know no one's taken them, because my brother's not got an original Xbox. Mm. So I don't know where they've gone.
And Shenmue 2 looks like it's going to fetch a pretty penny now.
Yes, it has gone up
even
dramatically.
On the Xbox, yeah.
Really? Is the Xbox price risen as well?
The Xbox version is definitely more expensive than it used to be. Because people didn't really care so much. And there were those fan followers like myself who really liked Shenmue, who were probably very curious about owning it on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Who would want it and probably drove the price up a little bit. But now I'm imagining there's much more interest in playing Shenmue 2 again.
Surprisingly, like I remember seeing the Dreamcast copy of Shenmue 2. And it was around 20, 30 quid still. Like, it was still maintaining its value quite a lot in that nice little cardboard sleeve it comes in.
Which I don't have.
I hope I do. My copy was listed as very good on Amazon, and it was quite cheap, so I picked it up. Well, yeah, but I know my sleeve for one is mashed, but I kind of wouldn't mind having it still. Yeah. So I picked it up, like, because it was 20-odd quid, and I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get a Dreamcast just for that. Little did I know I would use later. It would probably be cheaper to do it then. But I picked up the Xbox One, I think, for, like, 7 quid.
Yeah.
Like, in Game Station, new.
Mm.
It was just really cheap, like, around the time of the Xbox 360 came out. And I was like, oh, £7. I'll have that. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, like, if the other one's this price, like, 7 quid for this is a bargain. And I never played it, because I was like, okay, well, I want to play Shenmue 1, and one of my friends had a Dreamcast, and I was going to borrow it, but I never did. Mm. So it sat there, and I don't know where the hell it is. I've got to find it, but I've got one somewhere.
Yeah.
But I can play it on the Dreamcast now, because that's on its way anyways. So, Shenmue. Yeah. To wrap up, great game, not so great gameplay, but probably very good for the time. On Kickstarter now. No. Right. Okay, well, I think we should wrap it up there. We've gone over the hour mark.
We haven't, have we?
We have indeed.
Well, plenty to talk about, though. This
there was, yeah, there was a lot. I don't know, actually, if there'll be that much to talk about for me, at least next week. But
why not?
Like I said, I'm going to London. I will pick up Woolly World, so I'll perhaps give a rundown of that.
But you're back.
I am back for next week's podcast, of course. We are going Unbent and Unbroken, another 100 episodes, what? We'll see.
One down.
One down, 99 to go. If you like the podcast, you can like and subscribe to it in various ways. You can go to facebook.com/TomandMattAttack, where you can give us a little like, and you can leave a comment to say, hey guys, I really like
this
episode.
Big like
Shenmue. Yes. Should be one comment, so if someone does that, I'll make me very happy.
Shenmue. I always call it Shenmue.
Yeah,
but everyone else call it Shenmue.
I think it's Shenmue,
but I'm still gonna call it Shenmue.
I thought it was Shenmue. Like, I'm saying it. I think you're just picking up on the subtleties of my Welsh accent.
No,
Shenmue.
When it's announced in press conferences and stuff, it was called Shenmue.
Yeah, but is that just Americans?
I don't know, you have to ask someone Japanese. You watch an interview of Yu Suzuki talking
yes,
about
it. Yes, I will. I will go and do that right now.
But I'm not. I'm going to call it Shenmue.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Shenmue too, because I'm British.
Shenmue too.
Shenmue too. You can find us on a wonderful service called iTunes. Some people may use it. There you can subscribe to this podcast, and while you do so, I would give it a cheeky rate. Mm. You can also give it a cheeky subscribe, but that's up to you.
Just make it cheeky, whatever you do.
Exactly. Just a subscribe in general is good. You can also find us on Twitter at TMAcast.
Yeah. I still haven't really taken over the Twitter reins yet.
But you've got it. Like, you're there, you're looking and going, aha, favourite
well,
things.
I've got the
that
password
works.
Somewhere.
It's okay. You have. And you can also find us on tomandmattattack.com/podcast and at blastprocess.com. Until next week then, maybe I'll play a little bit more Shenmue. Maybe I'll be able to complete it. Maybe we can talk about that ending that you've been rabbiting on about.
Oh yeah, but not if you want to spoil. We have to put a spoiler alert.
No, it's a 16-year-old game. I'm sure we can put a spoiler alert at the start of
it. But many people are going to play it for the first time now? A lot.
True. But to be honest, a lot of people on our Twitter account were like, why haven't you completed it yet? So I'll take that with a pinch of salt that everyone who's probably going to buy a Dreamcast to play that game probably has. But we'll see. I'll mark a spoiler at the start of the episode. It's okay.
It right needs then. A release, doesn't it?
It does. I'm pretty sure it will get one. Surely.
It's got him now.
Yeah. Oh well, we'll see. Anyway. Till next week, guys and girls. Yes. Game on.
Game on.